Black, stop playing with him.
Sauce Talk here. We got Monday morning. My last few hours in Florida. And over the weekend, you know, we had conference finals, madness going on. The Celtics and the Lakers can't find their way. Two historic classic championship franchises in the NBA. And here they have a chance to be linked to the NBA Finals once again, whenever through the errors of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, even before that with Jerry West, Will Chamberlain, and Bill Russell. And then you come into the precipice of Kobe Bryant's and Pau Gasol's with Paul Pierce and KG. And it kind of goes away a little bit. And then LeBron James makes a move to L.A., Boston finds their way with good draft picks, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, you know, through those times, because, you know, IT and Marcus Smart was running things, and then you get Al Horford. But what I'm saying is that Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum are the motor of that, what pushed the Boston Celtics to where they are right now. And here both franchises are here down 3-0 against the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Two franchises with one having the championship success because of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, the man of Wade County, the man who brought him a championship first with Shaquille O'Neal. And then LeBron came and got two more. But the Denver Nuggets, who has been to the Western Conference Finals with Carmelo Anthony, I think they went kind of deep in the playoffs some years way back. They've never been to an NBA Final. They've never won an NBA Final. And now they had a two-time MVP winner, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, who's been on fire, who didn't get to play last year in the playoffs. Everybody kind of scrutinized because the doctors cleared him. He didn't play. He's playing. Michael Porter Jr. is playing. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a former champ, playing. Aaron Gordon, playing. They got so many things coming at you. The Heat, same thing, man. Jimmy Butler, bad game, no matter. Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent. You know, no Tyler Hero, no problem. Here comes Duncan Robinson, giving you 20. You know? These are the things. Kyle Lowry, be able to make veteran plays. Jimmy Butler, Bam out of Bayou, playing out of his mind, rebounding, dunking, blocking, assisting, playmaking. This is what we're going to see in what I was talking about. If you go back in my previous episodes from years back, talking about how the NBA and what the NBA is shaping into, to where we're going to not see these superstars, these Kevin Durants and these LeBron Jameses and guys like that, James Harden. You know, they're going to be in the thick of it. Just like Harden, just like LeBron, just like Kevin Durant, Chris Paul. But you got the new wave of players making it interesting. De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monks. We see what the Knicks was able to do with Brunson. We've seen some things from the Atlanta Hawks, even though they're in kind of a shifting kind of like turmoil. We've seen things from the Memphis Grizzlies. Desmond Bane coming out of his shell. You know, we got more problems for Ja Morant, but you got to see some other positive things from other players on that team. The Cavaliers, even though they got bounced out, they show some promising things. But Anthony Edwards. But the one thing that I can sit there and say is that knowing how good Denver Nuggets were this season, I still didn't think that they would be at this position right now, because I felt like they were that team that, yeah, they're going to have the best record, but are they going to be the best playoff team? They are shown, other than losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I'm like, they must have really just took a day off, but they have definitely shown that they are the best team in the playoffs. They have just shown it. I mean, they have taken the best blows from young teams that's coming at them with fast pace. You know, the Lakers have definitely came at them with pace with some older players on them, And they waved that storm, especially like if you think about game one coming back and almost winning that one, then game two being up all game pretty much and then squandering away that lead. And then, of course, game three to where it was like, of course, like when you look at game one, game two, game three was kind of unwinnable for the Lakers because you really had to win the game. But when you look back at game one and game two, you're like, wow, we lost that game on a comeback and had it down three. LeBron takes an errant three, which I'm like... Then game two, we're up most of the game. AD's not having the game one that he was having, but we're at least looking good. And we lose that lead. And LeBron James is once again at that point at the end of the game looking like the guy who is the sabotager, the seller, whatever you want to call it, making bad plays. And then game three, just couldn't stop nobody. Couldn't stop nobody. Mainly Jamal Murray, who scored 37 points. And it just made everybody out there just look like how Lomachenko did Devin Haney, man. And we're going to get into that. We're going to definitely get into that. Hopefully I can be able to talk about that with Mark Hale. We'll get a segment with him talking about that fight as well. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at it on the Boston side, they just can't get started. I mean, you look at 14-10. For Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown didn't have a great game. They can't get what they want going because Miami Heat is dictating everything. And Bam Adebayo is playing such an important role in that. It is out of this world. Like Bam Adebayo, if you think about what he's doing on paper, you know what I'm saying? Like he's 30 plus. He's a 30 plus. You know what I'm saying? Like 13, he had 13-3, but it's just things he's doing. It's what he's doing on the court. He's got a block, he's got a steal, but he's just being active. The game before that, the man had almost a triple double. We needed one more assist. He had 22-17. Butler 27. I mean, this guy, just what he's doing on the court is making the others of the Miami Heat stand out more so than Jimmy Butler. The others can do what they want to do. They play with confidence. They look at you know Gabe Vincent, Strus, Caleb Martin. They look at Kyle Lowry. They look at those guys and they say, you know, we got to step up. We got to make the plays. That's a good bench to have, and that's what makes them so good to wear out. If the Denver went in and swept the Lakers, and they went in and swept the Celtics, this would be a good finals, man. Just can't have no people sitting there saying, oh man, you know. Yeah, Lakers-Celtics would be great. Be great. But then the world be sitting there saying, oh, it was scripted. You know, oh, yeah, it was all built around the Lakers and Celtics. Now we got two sweeps coming. Why we got people sitting there hanging their heads, you know? It happens. You go out there and get your ass whooped, and you're not prepared to handle the certain things that you can't stop. And I would say when the Denver side is that little pin down handoff to Jamal Murray is dangerous because they work so many different variations off of it to where it's just not so much him coming off and shooting. He come around, he can drive, he can pass it. Jokic can keep it and drive, finish. He can kick it to the corner. He can make a pass in the angle because he's tall, because he's got vision out the wazoo. So just that little pin down little wall that they build for Jamal Murray creates points for so many different ways and angles. It's scary, but if you sit there and think that, oh, I'm going to outsmart it, and I'm going to, then Jamal Murray's going to pull three. And that's why you've seen him be so successful getting a rhythm, that he can come down here, transition threes and everything like that. The Heat, when they're going against the Celtics, they said, well, they're like, okay, what we do is that if Jimmy's not cooking, which before anything, before any of that goes on, they play team basketball first. and people are just moving and getting this going and that. And Duncan Robinson's been able to come in and get the Jamal Murray treatment. We're going to run pin downs. We're going to run screens. You come off of it. We're going to hand you the ball. We're going to let you shoot. He let you run that top of the key. Caleb Martin, same thing. But he, Caleb Martin can get a little bit more of his bucket. You know, he can get to the rim. He can pull up for mid-range. He's got the three. Gabe Vincent's got the three. He's got the mid-range. He can get to the rim. You got people like that that's playing on a championship-level type team. You're going to get that type of championship-level contribution. These people are not superstars. They're not stars. But they can be key, intricate players on a team like this, like a James Posey, like we've seen before with Jay Crowder, like we've seen before with J.R. Smith and guys that comes off the bench. We've seen it from Dela Vadovas. We've seen it from guys up and high off the rankings of, say, a star to non-star off the bench. We've seen those type of role players throughout the years. You know, we've seen the Sean Livingstons. We've seen the David Lees, you know, the veteran guys that's that were stars that turned into role players. We've seen that, guys. We've seen those guys. And I think the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets have that wholeheartedly, man. They have that. If you look at that, like Reggie Jackson can come in off the bench for Denver Nuggets. He's seen some time. Not a whole lot, but he's seen some time. You know, Duncan Robinson ain't see a whole lot of time. And now, look at what he's doing. Caleb Martin was not Gabe Vincent and Struce. So, I mean, like, now we got Caleb Martin. Now he gets to make a contribution. Like, oh, man. Like, no Oladipo, no problem. No Hero, no problem. They're still going to the finals. And now that makes it problematic for any team that's got to face the Miami Heat, because Tyler Hero will be coming back for the NBA Finals because that was the extent of his injury, which is what I heard. Well, what would be more crazier is that two historic franchises coming back from a 3-0 and winning a series. Like, if both franchises just said, you know what, we're not having it no more, and won four straight games, that would turn the NBA world upside down, man, and be like, what in the world happened? But down 3-0 for both teams, it's just hard. It's just hard, man. It would be tough. It'd be tough. The first two in a row, you can kind of see happening. You'd be like, okay, it's 2-3. But to make that game seven happen, it'd be crazy. Starts tonight with Boston. Can Boston get a win? You know, then we have to go to the Lakers. Can the Lakers get a win? I mean, not the Lakers. The Lakers start tonight. So, can the Lakers get a win tonight? I'm not even optimistic. I was after game one because I'm like, hey, we came back from that. Game two, that was a heartbreaker. Didn't want to talk about basketball no more after that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, man, Universal made a lot of money yesterday. Disney and whole, I mean, that whole park, I'm pretty sure that the Magic Island, I'm pretty sure, whatever you call it, Treasure Island, United Kingdom, whatever you call it, I can't remember. Disney World, they made a grip yesterday. I'm pretty sure they made a grip. They shouldn't have got enough money out of me and fam. I'll tell you that. But damn, man. I cannot believe that the conference finals are in a state of two sweeps. It's near two sweeps. And it's the Celtics and it's the Lakers about to get swept in this new, it just like feel like it's just like a new era of basketball where it's like, yeah, you got the two old historic franchises. Young players won both franchises, but it's just funny. That you got the Celtics and Lakers about to get swept up by the playoffs in the conference finals. And they got the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. You know, not the Phoenix Suns, not the Clippers, not the teams that people thought it was going to be. Those are the three teams people thought was going to be in the finals. They thought the Suns, not the Clippers, the Warriors. Those were the three teams, man. You know, the Warriors, they're going to make all these excuses and talk about, you know, they're not a championship team and they ain't got, you know, we missing Otto Porter. Like, Otto Porter, really? Otto Porter? Y'all got the same damn team. You got this little player on your team that y'all know and trust and love, which he's done great things and stuff like that. when you can't, not say control, you don't want to use the word controlling, but when you don't know what he's going to do in certain situations, he might can compromise things. Him punching Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, that was detrimental. And I would say Steph Curry got a little bit more of an ego this season. Klay Thompson, more of a trying to redemption, you know, which was a good thing for the franchise. Him wanting to come back stronger and better this year, and he did. But I think what changed their championship future is that it didn't work out for James Wiseman. They didn't have nobody in the paint that could deal with certain things. And Looney is good. Looney can get rebounds. And he's got a good knack for that and whatnot. But not working with James Wiseman and not working with him and then him end up ultimately being traded, I think that was a loss for them. Because if anything, if the one thing that they did try with getting with D'Angelo Russell or you know, doing this, doing that, him winning the championship the last year, they didn't have the need for a James Wiseman. Like, they didn't need somebody like that. Looney was good enough. It's like, okay, yeah, Looney's good enough in this situation. Like, we need that. But in this situation against the Lakers, or we're going to deal with the Joker, you would have wished that you would at least had that kid develop to a point to where he would have been useful in big time moments like a Looney. Because he would have just destroyed Domantas Sabonis for you. You know what I'm saying? Even more than what Looney or Draymond did to him. I mean, like, I just look at his upside to where he might not even be good for Detroit ever, but he could be. Who knows? I just always looked at that. It's like, I bet they wish that worked. I mean, I know they wish. I mean, it wasn't like they squandered it or nothing. I mean, they put him in the G League. I mean, like, try so much to try to toughen him up and make him physical. That's why I say I don't know if he's going to be good anywhere else, but you just kind of wish it would have worked. Because you took that draft pick hoping that if he turns into a monster, you just imagine Steph Clay and somebody freakish like that with a wingspan like that and can maybe shoot a little bit and do things to where you can be confident. Like, he was a freaking lottery pick. You know what I'm saying? When you get a lottery pick, you will hope to God that he can help out a championship team when a championship team winds up getting one. I mean, like, we've seen it through the years of when how the Bulls end up getting the Lakers getting James Worthy. You're like, a championship team got James Worthy, and then they win a championship. That's how you gotta do it. That's how you gotta do it. But yeah, I just can't believe that the NBA playoffs is what it is, man. A good play-in tournament, nothing really too much to complain about there. A good play-in tournament. Wasn't bad. You know what I'm saying? Because you look at the play-in, Lakers was in it. You know, the Cavs, not the Cavs, the Hawks got in it and kind of pushed the Bucks a little bit, pushed them to a point to where it was like, well, are they really that good? I mean, not the Hawks. I mean, I said the Bucks, but the Celtics. Pushed the Celtics to a point to where, look at them now. Because you look at that and you're like, hold on. Like, the Hawks is kind of giving them a little something there. Then now look at the Celtics. Where you saying they can be lax or they can be kind of random, as Marcus Smart pointed out, that their offense can be random. Just not doing enough. But Derek White, he's not going crazy like he was last year. I'm not hearing Derek White's name like that. Al Horford's not having big, big contributions in games. You know, you're not getting a bunch of points from Time Lord. He can rebound his ass off. Marcus Smart, his three-point shooting, what has been good all the last two seasons, has not been good in the playoffs. If you think about it, Jaylen Brown, he's been put in positions where he's still turning the ball over. And he's not been shooting great. Jason Tatum's not been shooting great. So when you have that all together, you know, only player that has been consistently playing good for them, I would say, is Malcolm Brogdon. And he's not had, you know, great game, but he's just been somewhat what they've needed in certain spots, especially defensively. But he can't save them. Like I said, Time Lord's been consistent with the rebounds. He can't save them. It's crazy, man. But see, the thing is, you know, if you look at the game where Jason Tatum had the best game, game seven against the Philadelphia 76ers, Jason Tatum went to the rim. He was aggressive, got in their face, was physical. Then he started hitting mid-rangers. Then he started hitting threes. But he went to the rim first. That was the root. That was the base. You can't, you know, if you see something, if something is working, you got to keep going at it. And then you can play make off of it. You keep going to the rim, you can pass and play make. People feel comfortable sitting in their spots. The corner three from Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Derek White. Then you start playing like the Boston Celtics. I feel like it's not Joe Mazzulla's fault or the randomness. It's the hesitation of what you know that can work. And knowing that you're professionals, that you've been to the finals before, go out there and do it. Like, I just look at the coach putting you in the best spots to have the lineups out there. I mean, like, do it. You look at Spo and what he's able to do with that losing Hero and losing Oladipo and still being able to get what the most out of is the preparation and practice and what you expect out of those players that's not getting the time of the players I just named. And then when you get upgraded into the lineup, you already know what to do. Lonnie Walker. I mean, Reggie Jackson. I mean, you look at these guys that are just waiting for that matchup or something. They can be a use. An injury comes in, next man up situation. You look at the people that's really who's really got them buttoned up and prepared as the head coach. That's the whole thing of it. You know, that's why I always said like Kerr would have had Kuminga ready to rock and roll if he'd have just trusted him. And Kuminga would have probably changed the series a little bit more. But he didn't play him enough. Kuminga didn't play that much in that series. He didn't play enough against the Lakers. Would have probably made some things better. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? And, you know, you look at, like, the Bucks who got eliminated. I bet you, you know what I'm saying, for them, you know, firing their head coach and everything, they tried everything. The injury to Greek definitely set them back. Yeah, he got the play, but it was a setback, period. And Middleton wasn't what he was when they won the championship. When they won the championship, Middleton was a dog. And Middleton has still got a good name in the NBA, but I'm not sitting there saying he's falling off or nothing. I mean, former Aggie, he's definitely good, a good basketball player. He's just not what he was in that run. Not what he was. He was something else, man. Drew Holiday the same. I mean, he has so much going with that. And, you know, you look at like whatever else they had coming off the bench and players moving here, Bobby Portis, Javon Carter, you know, good players. The 76ers, I felt like Doc Rivers got a raw deal. I think with the Budenholzer firing and Doc Rivers, they both could have stayed the coach those teams one more year and could have been more successful than what they were this season. Regular season. Postseason, you know, that's always to be desired, but I don't think too much would change, you know what I'm saying, getting new coaches for both those franchises. Monty Williams, I felt that was more of a mutual kind of a deal, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to get myself wore out here and then we go to a rebuilding process and people thinking I'm going to be the stay-in coach. He probably didn't want to be there that long if things weren't going to work out, especially trading away the young nucleus to bring in Kevin Durant. Because that would make a coach like that be like, damn, wish we had Mikal back. Wish we'd have Cam Johnson back. I mean, shit crazy, man. When you think of it that way, it's wild when you think of it that way. It really is. And It is wild. That's all I can say. It is pretty wild, man. The world that we live in sports, where we look at certain things, it's like predictable to where people will get to the point to call stuff rigged if stuff doesn't happen the way it's supposed to. And, you know, coaches got to get the hook for our ups, you know what I'm saying? Like, you look at the fan base or you look at analysts and teams, they're all fans of teams and stuff like that. And you and people get to listen around and you're thinking Embiid won MVP. Nobody's putting this on Jokic, who's a two-time MVP, who's about to go to the finals, by the way. But, you know, Embiid, MVP, James Harden. You got James Harden on the team. It's like, oh, given. They got to win a championship. Like, it's a given. But when you're complaining about it, Tobias Harris as well, you already know that's taking some stuff, that's taking off some heat right there. And Tobias Harris is definitely a hindrance in what makes them go. And that's where I go with where I say that predictiveness, like that being predictable, is like people are going to have so many different opinions that are in their predictable minds with the NBA season, NFL, whatever. But in this particular case, what I'm talking about is that as the regular season is going along, everybody's looking at these teams. If the Warriors were the number one team in the West, or the Lakers, then the consensus would say is like, oh, yeah, they're going to the finals. The Nuggets were number one in the Celtics. Yeah, Celtics was one. Yes, Celtics going back to the finals. Warriors, Lakers, Phoenix, and then Clippers. It's the predictive mind. It's like Denver's number one, but nobody's sitting there saying Denver's going to the finals. They say, "Oh, Denver's good." Even me, Denver's good. Not a good. But are we giving them number one consideration to make it just to waltz into the finals? No, never. Because it's just unconventional. It's an unpredictable thing. But when you sit there, you see the Boston Celtics, and you look at their run, and it's not looking as crisp, and you say, wow, now here they are in the position to get swept. Lakers, who breaks that who just, you know, when people were sitting there thinking like, oh, they got in the play, and now in the playoffs, and Kendrick Perkins, like he said, this is going to be a conference championship team. It happened. Warriors goes down. Great Grizzlies goes down. Then the Warriors. Then here they are. Denver does what they're supposed to do. Gets to the conference finals, and now everybody can sit there. Even me, I'm including me in this. Goes immediately to the bubble because it's the rematch of the bubble. But what we didn't know is that with that predictive mind, thinking like, oh yeah, man, Lakers in five, Lakers in six, baby. Michael Porter Jr. Jokic has gotten better, obviously. And Jamal Murray is like, man, look here. I'm sorry about last year. He's got a lot of redeeming to do, and he's doing it. So when you look at things in that mindset, just like when you look at it in the East with Miami Heat going up against the Boston Celtics, they're like, we're not scared of y'all, and y'all ain't sitting there just thinking y'all gonna automatically go back into this finals. And that's what makes the East so cool. Like, I feel like Philly could have won that series and came in there and made the Heat hell. They could have made them really be like, they could have really made them be like, wow. Like, oh, they're going to the finals? It's Philly? They could have made it happen. Shake Milton, Tobias Harris, Niang. Those players are not. Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson. They didn't step up like those players. They didn't. They just didn't. They didn't step up like those players. Because they are stepping up. They didn't step up like those guys, man. And, you know, them Lonnie Walker game, those D'Angelo Russell moments, you know, those moments is all dried up. You're not getting those guys, having those games. You got D'Angelo Russell after the game shooting jumpers, trying to find it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to tell you, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Keep shooting, I guess. Now at this point, we need everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have done, you know, for somebody to sit there and say that Darvin Ham is getting out coached, I don't think he's getting out coached. We're just getting out play. We're getting beat. Because he made the adjustment to come out there and have a better game, too, and we did that, and we squandered it, and it wasn't his fault. I'm just a realist, man. I'm just a realist. And that's the thing about a team just finally, like, tired of it. You know what I'm saying? I always go back to a certain series. It don't even have to be championship series or nothing like that, but I just remember round one, it was the Clippers where Chris Paul was on there, and it was the Clippers versus the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs had just won a championship the year before, and they had to play the Clippers in the round one of the playoffs. And that was when, you know, that was you know, a few years in of round one of basketball being back to a seven-game series. Because you remember, round ones used to be best of three games. And so, going back to that seven-game series around one, people was kind of like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? But it was fine, you know what I'm saying? Nothing was going crazy until the Clippers and the Spurs got linked up round one. People was like, oh, man, these two good franchises going to go seven games. They're going to be wore out the rest of the playoffs and what analysts was talking about. But it's like, you can't say that. Or you can't make that an excuse or make that a thing of saying, oh, round one should be a seven-game series. But that was a series that was defining to me to think about, to where it's like, wow, if you think back to that, it was the Atlanta Hawks 08 versus the Celtics who pushed them to seven games. So it just always kind of to say, it's like, man, it doesn't matter. These guys are going to go out here and they're going to play basketball regardless. But when I look at that series, though, it's like that Clippers series was Chris Paul, man, really just wanted just to be like, man, I want to get over some type of hump. And I think, like, that was the Spurs, because I remember him playing for the Hornets, and they almost knocked out the Spurs when he played for the Hornets and had David West? Yeah, David West, Pargo, and all them guys, Posey. And they was one shot, one open three away from really kind of submitting that, and they lost. Tony Parker. Him and Chris Paul and Tony Parker went to war. And then you had some other series with him playing for the Clippers where he got hurt accidentally and stuff like that, whatever, and they, you know, lost, and he was out of there. But the Spurs was always, I felt like, was that team that you, like, man, we can beat the Spurs in a series, you can win a championship. And that's what it felt like. And I just always was, like, let down when they won that series, because that was a series that went to seven games. And people was like, man, like, man, they knocked off the Spurs in the first round, and then they got beat, course, by the Warriors. But you know, that's how I be sometimes. But the my point is that the Heat are looking at the Celtics in that way, and if you think about it, the Denver Nuggets are looking at the Lakers in that way. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at it as like, we are not going to bow down and let y'all just beat us and just keep the norm going. We got to change things and make it different. We got to be like the Greeks and the Dirk Nowitzkis and the franchises that wants to try to get a ring and not let the Celtics, the Lakers, the Spurs, the, you know what I'm saying, I guess you can throw in the last 30 years, the Spurs, Lakers, Heat, Warriors, and then you got a lot of singles. You got the Mavericks, you got the Bucks, you got the Pistons. So when you look at it, you got the Raptors, so many, you got a lot of singles, but you got a lot of multiples. And then multiples are coming from teams, like I said, mainly Spurs, Lakers, Warriors. Because to be truthfully honestly, the Celtics has one of those singles since the, you know, since the '80s. They only got one, and that's that 08. They've been to it. But that's interesting if you think about it. That you got a team with zero and a team with only, the Heat only has three titles. Three franchise titles. They got the one with Dwayne Wade and Shaq, and they got the two with LeBron and Wade. And they've been to the finals, what, after that? Three more times? This would be the third time if they actually made it. This would be that third time since they made it, since they won it, the last one. They lost to the Spurs, they lost to the Lakers. So, it just, gotta love basketball at this point, man. You gotta love basketball for something new. You know, the Joker, could he start a dynasty? Could we be sitting there saying, you know, the Joker starts a dynasty, him and Murray, they're still young. I mean, they got Porter, you know what I'm saying? The expendable guys could be like somebody like Aaron Gordon, you know what I'm saying? I think if you keep the nucleus of a Jokic, Murray, and Porter, that can keep some stuff going. And here you got Wimby coming to the Spurs. I mean, he's going to the Spurs. I mean, that was pretty much what the lottery was. It was like, who's going to get Wimby? That's why he was there. And I felt like that had some screws to it because he's a Frenchman that's a big-time Tony Parker fan. He loved the Spurs. You can see him as a kid with a Spurs jersey on. Oh, man. You want Popovich to coach till he's gone. Let's get him Wimby. Because you look at it like the Rockets and the Pistons, like, they should have, no, somebody pulls some balls out of that damn thing, man. How the hell Spurs get their first pick? I just, like, unbelievable. They're getting Wimby, and he's going to start something, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be the battle of bringing the big man back. He's got multifaceted skills. You know, the big man is back. The big man is back. I mean, you look at the performances of Anthony Davis, even when he's got the stigma of being hurt all the time. You look at Embiid, you look at the Greek, you look at Jokic, and you look at the yearning, the hoping, and now he's going to be gone, but people were sitting there thinking that DeAndre Ayton was going to turn into a star. You have this thing to where the big man is back. The big man is back, man. Look at Bam. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those guys that's doing it like, you know, back in the day when you had your undersized bigs that could be useful against those big 7-footers like a Jokic and company. So I do feel like there's a renaissance on the big man, just like how in NFL the running back, just like Bijan is a hot commodity when he probably wouldn't be, what, 8-9 years ago. He wouldn't have been. You know what I'm saying? So I think, like, certain things come back, man. And I think the bigs, you know, having that big, that's got some skill, that's going to have some, got to have a little bit more than what Ewing and guys had, you know, or, you know, those guys that, you know, had some little things extra where you're saying, like, wow, bigs just don't do that. But now it's kind of more the norm, like a Ewing, a Olajuwon, and guys like that had stuff to where you're like, man, there's just bigs that just can't do that. Now you got average, serviceable bigs who can do some things. That now that these superstar bigs now have to go up more outside the box with their bag. It's just how it works, man. It is just how it works. And got a little basketball for that reason. I love it. I love it. You just don't understand how much I love it. It's like one of the greatest things ever, man. It's one of the greatest things ever. And sometimes it can be hurtful. It can be painful because you look at somebody like a Carmelo Anthony who had to watch the NBA change right within his eyes. Like, it was just like, wow, man, we're not calling ISO. We're not giving you the ball on the block and no more. We're not doing it no more. You got to move and pass. Got to play defense. You got to do a lot of these things now to be different. And I think it sets certain people back where you just be like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, I can't be me. I can't get on the block and call ISO. I got to move the ball. We got to go do screen stuff. This stuff crazy shit, crazy Mike D'Antoni offense or the, you know, a lot of stuff shifted. to where now we are in a basketball game to where you look at Denver as a perfectly made team. Length, shooting, defense, good point guard skills from a big or point guard. And you got, in this case, you got both. Scoring from both. And a deep bench. And a coach that has a don't-give-a-fuck attitude. I love Mike Malone. I loved him this whole playoffs, how he's been treating this playoffs, is how serious he's been and how he's been coaching. The man has lost his voice and everything. He has been tremendously great in this playoffs. So my hat's off to Mike Malone and Coach Spo. And, you know, I got to give something to Darvin Ham because a lot of people didn't think that this was going to happen with the Lakers. So I am pissed that we're down 0-3, but I am no shape or form super upset. Because we were the 13th team in the West. We made a trade out of our ass and was able to get in the play-in, had the best record after the All-Star, after the trade deadline, and got in the playoffs and got to the Western Conference Finals. So there's some moral victories here. But the series is not over. Greater things can happen, but I'm just saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it for us or the Celtics. But crazier things has happened in this world. I just don't believe it. But hey, you know, that's the thing about the NBA, man. It's crazy. But we're gonna take a break here. We're gonna come back, we're gonna talk some boxing. We're gonna talk about what happened over the weekend. We're gonna talk about one of the crazier decisions I've seen in boxing history. So hopefully, like I said, I'll have a guest. If not, I'll do that by myself. But we will be back. Sauce Talk. That was the NBA segment right there. God, it hurts my heart, like I said, to hear that my team was down 0-3. But it is what it is. Don't go nowhere. We will be back.